Turn your Bibles, will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. In Hebrews 12, verse number 18 and 19, the Scripture says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words." This morning, with the Lord's help and blessing, I want to preach the message, Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your blessings and your goodness towards us in every way. Thank you for salvation, full and free, for our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, to all that He's done for us. We thank you, Father, for your blessings upon us and provision and health and strength and life. We thank you for healing. And, Lord, we thank you for the church that you've put us in here, each and every member that you bless us together with. Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you, Father, that you've given yourself unto us. And, Lord, that we have fellowship, sweet fellowship, and because of that blessed quietness indeed, resting in you. Thank you, Father, for so great salvation. We pray that you'd help us as we look into your word, that we might be edified, strengthened, built up. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in you and the things that you've done. And we pray, Father, for those that are here not saved, Lord, that you'd visit them as you did us and save them and make them your own. And, Lord, even add them to the church here as you're pleased. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. For you're not coming to the mount that might be touched. And then what's being talked about there, there's a couple things. A physical mount that could have been touched, but as we're going to see, there was a great warning regarding that. Shouldn't touch it. That burned with fire. You're not coming to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. We come to Exodus chapter 3 and we hear the first mention of Mount Horeb and this Mount Sinai here in Genesis, or Exodus rather, chapter 3. I turn to Genesis. That's not going to work, is it? Exodus chapter 3. We see our brother here, and let's read what it says. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came into the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. It goes on to say here in verse 7, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and at large into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the land of the Canaanites, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Here at Mount Horeb, Brother Moses, as we've read, saw that burning bush, this holy place where the Lord told him, take off your shoes. This is holy ground, son, and listen to the word that I say unto you. Here at Mount Horeb, the Lord lets his man know, the man that he's called to lead his children out of Israel. that he is God, and beside him there's none other, and he's going to bring them out of Egypt, just like he said. Just like he had promised Brother Abraham. He's going to do it. The time has come. This place was a place where Moses went aside to see this bush that burnt, but was not consumed. And it says here, as you remember, it says in verse number 6, there in the latter part, the sight of all this and the hearing that he heard here, it says, for he was afraid to look upon God. It was an awesome sight and a terrible. And understand, when we use that word terrible in the Scriptures, it's not talking about that it's bad. It's just enormous. It's greater than the senses can stand. It is the brightness and the greatness and the power and glory of God is just overwhelming to mere mortals as we. Our Lord used this man, and by his power, indeed, he did deliver the children of Israel out of that place. We come over to Exodus chapter 19, and we see here the coming back to this place. In Exodus chapter 19, verse number 1, and in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Verse number 2, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. They came back to this place. They came back to this place as the Lord had promised Moses. This place is still the same kind of place that Moses left it. If I say Noah, I mean Moses, okay? Sometimes I get those guys, I'll just say it and don't even realize it. It's the same kind of place that Moses saw when he saw the burning bush. The Lord had promised, as we'll see here in other passages we'll look at, that he'll bring him back to this place. It was a token that was given to him of the Lord being with him. And sure enough, here they are back. But I tell you what, it's a terrible place. It is the mountain of the Lord. We read in verse number 10 of this chapter in Exodus 19, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Verse 12, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. That's what we were reading over there in Hebrews. Don't come up there. Don't come past the limit. Don't come up and touch the mount. Go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. It's very serious. It's very grave. There shall not an hand touch it. So don't even get over there by it and stumble and fall down and your hand go across the line. It's very serious. It's very decisive. The holiness of the Lord and the Lord Himself is descending upon this place. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. If your dog goes up there, it's going to be put to death. If your cattle strays, if your sheep go up there and go for some grass maybe or whatever is there, they're going to be put to death. Don't come past the limit, only at the command of the Lord. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount at the signal that the Lord gives. This Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, as we see here, is a terrible and fearful place indeed. The voice and presence of God is at hand. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 31, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, in this Hebrews, it's talking, I believe it's talking to the saved. It's a fearful thing for you and me being saved to fall into the hands of the living God, because he's just that awesome. He's just that spectacular, so powerful. It's greater than anything. He is greater than anything that we can comprehend. And it is fearful to fall into the hands of him. Can you say that Israel was indeed in the hand of God at this time? Oh, they've been delivered out of Egypt, but they're there before the Lord. Can they pick up and run? No, they can't get away. They are there before the Lord at his directive. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Brother Moses preaches unto the children of Israel in his fifth book that he writes. And he says in verse number 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." He is just so, so great. We come back over to our text chapter in Hebrews chapter 12, and we want to read here more about the terribleness of this place, the awesomeness and just the fearfulness of this place. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18, on this Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, we see here in verse number 18, as we read, "For you're not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore." The Lord's going to speak, and they're going to say, "No more, no more." "For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart." That it's decisive, as we mentioned earlier. It's very, very serious. Verse 21, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." No doubt in each one of us in our lives, we've had a time that we've been so afraid that we shook. And that's the way it was with Moses there, and probably greater than anything that you and I have ever experienced. He quaked because of this sight of the Lord. He is the Lord. He's called by the Lord. But to be there in the presence of the Lord is such a great and awesome thing. Verse 25, it says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth," speaking of this time, "much more shall we, not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth." When the Lord spoke from that mountain, it made the place rumble. And those rocks shake. Can you imagine that? I don't know if any of you have ever been through an earthquake and how that is. You'd be in your house, and we had a few tremors out in Missouri, and it's kind of strange how that comes on, because you start hearing stuff rattle that doesn't normally rattle. And they were there, that place at Sinai, Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai is a place that is rocky, if we understand it. And those rocks shaking upon the earth. It was a dreadful thing. "Whose voice then shook the earth," verse number 29, as we read over in Deuteronomy, our brother quotes it as he writes Hebrews, "For our God is a consuming fire." And the Lord came down on that mount. From this place, the law of God is given. A summary of such we find over here in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments, as we know them, the summary of God's law, it was given by the Lord in the hearing of the ear of the people of God there. Israel, as they stood before the mount, they heard the Lord speak those Ten Commandments. We come to verse number 18 of chapter 20 in Exodus. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. The voice of the Lord caused them to faint within their hearts." It was that tremendous. The law of God was given. And the Lord meant what he said, didn't he? He meant it. In this place, they found the necessity of the perfect keeping of his law. Don't let your hand go over the line. Don't cross. Don't disobey in anything that I give you. We see in Exodus chapter 31 this, and this is something that I hadn't seen before and considered before, about the giving of the law. I don't know what all that it means, but I look to muse and seek the Lord's face regarding it, but some things for us to consider. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 18. And he, that is the Lord, gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. The law of the Lord, Brother Mark mentioned this morning, the word of the Lord does not change. Now, I tell you what, mankind's looking to take it, spindle it, fold it, mutilate it, twist it. The law of God does not change. It's written in stone by the finger of God. There's significance in that. The Lord wrote that with his finger in those two tables. And he gave them to Moses. You understand and know the account about how our brother, when he came down from the mount because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, and he took those two tables and he broke them. Now these were two tables that God gave him in the mount where he had written the Ten Commandments upon them. The Lord commands Moses how to deal with the children of Israel. Then they're rebuked for their iniquity. He causes the calves to be ground up and put in the water, and they drink it. He makes that multitude, a million plus people, drink that. Oh, what power of the Lord upon that man. And we see here in Exodus chapter 34 this. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables that thou which thou breakest. See, it's just a thing about iniquity and sin and transgression against God, against the law of God. As we go on and we meet the law of God and the command of the Lord in and of ourselves, our natural selves, as we look to meet that and we try to obey that and we look to keep that, and well, we should, it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Moses, you broke them. You go hew them out. I'm going to ride on them again, but you hew them out this time. Because you broke those tables. You broke that testimony. My law written in those tables. You go hew it out. That, the law in and of itself, and it's a good thing we're going to see, but the thing is, the law in and of itself is a hard, fixed, cold fare. It doesn't change. And you, when you and I get up close to it, we just find indeed that we cannot keep it. But it's the law. It's what God has spoken. You hew out the tables this time. The first tables, God hewed out. There in that place, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, the law was given, and the understanding was one failure equals doom. You let your animal touch the mount, it's going to have to be stoned or thrust through. You let your child touch the mount, you touch the mount, one hand go across the border, death. One failure equals doom. Our Lord is most serious about His law, isn't He? After giving the Ten Commandments, we come to chapter 21 of Exodus, the commandments being given in chapter 20. And in chapter 21, we see this first mention of this. What's the penalty? What's the penalty for disobeying? We've already heard it as the Lord set borders regarding the mount. But look here in chapter 21, verse number 12. What's the first penalty that's mentioned? In chapter 21, verse number 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile or deception, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Listen to this, it'd do well for the generation at hand today would hear this. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You don't slap your parents around. The penalty for disobeying the law, first mentioned after the law, the Ten Commandments given, the first penalty that's mentioned for these things that the Lord points out is death. He's serious about His law. As you take a look at Exodus through Deuteronomy, 39 times the Lord mentions that the penalty is death for disobedience of His law and those things that He gave to Israel, moral, ceremonial, sacrificial. We read, and or we see here in chapter 19 here in Exodus, we see the commitment of the children of Israel and what you and I naturally would say that we would look to do as the Lord begins to lay these things down and begins to be here and fellowship with His people and dealing with them here at Mount Sinai. What's it say in chapter 19, verse number 8? And all the people answered together and said, "All the Lord hath spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." They promised to keep God's law. And we promise naturally to keep God's law when we're faced with it. But you know what? It tells us very plainly, Acts chapter 15, verses 10 through 11. Brother Paul, as he's dealing there at Antioch with the thing of Judaism coming back in there to the Lord's churches and the Lord's people, he states this, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Can't do it. Oh, but it's the law of God. But that's what came at Sinai. God's law that cannot be broken. In James chapter 2, verse number 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law," this is what the law says, "for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You know, I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer because I've stolen. I'm an adulterer because I have lied. I'm guilty of all of it. And you are too. We're guilty. The Lord is serious about His law. In Galatians chapter 4, the apostle dealing with this issue early on in the churches, there's an excerpt here that we want to read and just understand about the requirement of the law of God and how it is and how we stand in regards to it. Men promised to keep it. The children of Israel promised to keep it, but they could not. We look to keep it. Maybe there's a time in your life that you tried to. I hope you realize that you can't. In Galatians chapter 4, verse number 21, the apostle writes, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, Hagar, and the other by a free woman, Sarah." Brother Mark will tell us more about that in lessons to come. "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Which things are an allegory. It's a type, it's a picture showing us a greater thing. "For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai," which we've been talking about this morning. God commands it, and you and I better keep it. "Which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar." One failure equals doom. One error in regards to the law equals doom. "For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate had many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, Sinai. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Our works won't accomplish a thing before God. In regards to salvation of the soul, they won't touch it because we can't. We're guilty. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but indeed of the free. Sinai, Mount Horeb, a fearful and a terrible place, a place where the law of God is given, and that law tells us that it's solid, it's permanent, there's no changing it, and one failure equals doom. Death, being guilty of the law of God. Mankind says, the children of Israel, and we naturally would say that we'll look to keep it. We'll look to keep it. And we find indeed that we cannot. What is your mountain? In conclusion, Moses had a promise the Lord would bring him back with the nation of Israel to the same mount. Turn over here to Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11, we see here something that Moses wants to know. In Exodus 3:11, Moses said unto God, after the Lord had called him and told him what he was going to do with him and that he would go, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, the Lord says, and this shall be a token unto thee. This will be a sign, this will be an evidence that I have sent thee. Here's the evidence that I've sent you, Moses. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Son, you're coming back. And when you bring them back, you'll know indeed that I am with you. You know what this is telling to us? Something that we can see in this. We all must come by way of Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. We've all got to go by there. We've all got to go by Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. And we've got to face up to what's at hand at that mount. You know what Horeb means? The name Horeb means desolate. It means desolate. It comes from a word that means parch, or to dry up, or to destroy. That's what Horeb means. How are you coming by this way? Are you coming by your own means? You know what's going to happen? You're going to stop right there at Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. You're going to be found right there in that desolate, parched, dried up place. That'll be the end. And because you've transgressed, you will die. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 20, the Scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, He is our faithful Savior. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. We rest and trust in Him that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, His faithfulness for us, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How are you coming by Horeb and Mount Sinai? By your own means, I tell you what, your own means will not work. You will not be justified. You will not be saved. How are you coming this way? How are you coming by Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai? I tell you what, I like this. I love this. Are you coming by Christ? That the Lord Jesus Christ is my answer, your answer, if you're here and saved. He's our answer to Mount Sinai indeed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I can't keep it. Never could. Might have a little desire to do so, and once that would hit me, and as a mature child or a man or whatever, I would look to purpose to try to keep the law, but can't do it, but can't do anything about the past. Jesus can. The Lord Jesus, He can take care of it from the beginning to the end, can He? And He does for His people. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We look on at Horeb and the terribleness of the place and the hardness and the definitiveness of the place and say, how can we stand it? How can we live? How can there be hope? I tell you what, in Christ there's hope. There's help. There's an answer. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth in Him. I tell you what, Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. What's your answer for those? You've got to come by that way. Praise God, there is an answer in Jesus. Praise God that Jesus is indeed the answer for this place and the law of God. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Him. You know what? Jesus takes care of that law. And you know what? He did it perfectly. Perfectly. It's hard for us to imagine that, but we know and believe that our Christ did so as a man, flesh and bone, like you and me, and blood. He did it and kept the law. You know what? They treated Him, and He was treated like He didn't, for our sakes. Back to our text chapter in Hebrews chapter 12. We are not come to Mount Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels that at the beginning of the book, the Lord says that they are His ministering spirits for us. The angels being greater in power and might, the Lord's design and operation and work is that He created them to use them to be a ministering to you and me. Isn't that a wonder? To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now, one day we're moving our membership. We're right here local here today. Olmsted Baptist Church, but I tell you what, one day we're moving our membership to the Lord's Church with Him in glory. And you know what? When we move our membership, there'll be no moving again. There'll be no moving again. That's where we've come. Not to the mount that shook and the smoke at hand and the trembling and the quaking, but to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which is Jesus, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the saints of just men made perfect. That's where we've come. And we've come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling for us, that speaketh better things than that of Abel and his sacrifice. We've got Jesus as our sacrifice, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our answer to Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. Which is your mountain? Are you trying to make your own way? I tell you what, it won't work. It'll end up in death. But you know what? There's an answer to this mountain. And His name is Jesus. Praise God for our Savior.